Good. Nice to see the one that's managed out this evening, this afternoon. If you have your Bibles, perhaps we could open them together in Luke's Gospel and chapter number 8. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 8. And we'll read together from verse 26. It is the instant, the miracle of the healing of the man of the Gadarenes in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 26. Verse 26 says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they that had fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. And then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, 'Return to thine own house, and show how great things God has done to thee.' And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done to him." Let's just ask again for God's blessing, shall we? Our Father, we do just come again with our great need, and we pray, Father, for help as we would just consider for a moment or two these words and this great event in the life of the man of the Gadarenes. We see a glimpse, our Father, of the glory of the Lord Jesus here, and we pray, Father, that we might be helped to share something of that joy, that glory of thy Son. We pray, Father, that thou would draw us to him as we would just wait upon thee, looking for that help in Jesus' name. So this passage here that deals with the man of the Gadarenes is probably one of my favourite passages in the Gospels. It's part of a little triplet, really, of incidents in the life of the Lord Jesus. And you really get a glimpse of the power and the authority of Christ. It begins with an episode in the storm-tossed sea. And you see that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to calm the sea. He's got power over the natural. And then this man of the Gadarenes, well, he's demon-possessed, multiple demons. And we get a glimpse that the same Lord Jesus, the one with power over the natural, also has power over the spiritual. And then there's a third little part of this chapter which deals with the healing of a woman who's been bleeding for many years and Jairus' daughter who's dead. And we see that the Lord Jesus, he's got power over the natural, and he's got power over the spiritual, and he's got power over the medical, and he's even got power and authority over death. And when you put all of those things together, you really get a kind of full picture, really, of the greatness and the glory of the Lord Jesus. It is also, of course, in the midst of a section that is really just a series of disasters. Some of those disasters may be bigger than others, but it doesn't really matter which of those disasters you look at, you find that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to deal with those disasters. There's a disaster in the storm-tossed sea, and then there's a demon-possessed man, and there's disease and there's death. And so we're looking at the centre of these little this little section here, and this man who is possessed with the demons. Now, you get a glimpse of what kind of person he is and the kind of condition that he's in there at the beginning in verse number 27. And I think it's very helpful just to see the kind of disaster that this man is in, the kind of situation that he's in. You know, some people today use very glibly a phrase that you've probably come across. They talk about hell on earth. And this man's life is literally that. It is literally that. Because it is only here, really, and in hell or the lake of fire, that you will find such a concentration of the demonic. And this man not only has encountered them, but he's been possessed by them, multiple demons. His life is literally the very extension of hell. And you see the kind of situation that it's left him with. Verse 27, he's been stripped of everything that he's got. He's not got a roof over his head. He doesn't have any clothes on his back. He's lost his friends and his family. He's isolated. He's alone. And Satan has taken that life and really utterly destroyed it. He's got nothing left. In fact, Satan himself, the demons themselves, have used the man to put a roof over their head and to put clothes on their back. They've used him and abused him just as a place that they might indwell and be. He is absolutely wrecked. Verse number 27, he had no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And, you know, that man is in a condition a bit like the others that you read in this little section, that little kind of triplet of sections where we encounter the Lord Jesus. He's in a state of what you might call fear. And there's something that runs right the way through this section, and it's that theme of fear. There's fear in the storm-tossed boat. There's fear here in this man of the Gadarenes. And as you go into the section in Jairus' daughter, you'll find too that in the face of death, men are gripped by fear. And this man here in the Gadarenes is encountering someone that is able to deliver him from that fear. And it's very strange, you know, as he gets a glimpse of the Lord Jesus there in verse number 28, that it's a very strange thing, because as he gets a glimpse of the one that is able to deliver him from his torment and his fear, he becomes afraid himself. Verse number 28, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. So here's a man so possessed by the demonic as he encounters the only one that's able to deliver him. He's gripped by the fear of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, he ought not to fear Christ. The person of the Lord Jesus is the only one that can deliver him from the fear. In fact, the only thing that he's got to lose in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is fear itself. The fear that has gripped him and bound him. A fear that has got nothing to look for in that life. His life was a life that simply looked at the grave. It looked simply at death. It was a life that was wrecked. It had nothing to look forward to. It was a life that was sinking deeper and deeper into desperation. A life that was sinking into self-destruction. And he had absolutely nothing to look forward to. And yet here, as the Lord Jesus Christ arrives on the shore, he gets a glimpse of something. A glimpse of something glorious. Verse number 28. When he saw Jesus, a glimpse of the light of the glory of God penetrating into that deep darkness. That deep demon-possessed darkness. It's hard to imagine What that kind of a glimmer of light into utter despair could look like. It must be difficult to imagine what just a single little glimmer of hope into a situation of utter hopelessness must feel like. That glimmer of life into something that was utterly dead and dying. A prospect of emptiness and aloneness and hopelessness. And then he gets a glimpse of the Lord Jesus. And everything transforms. It's interesting, you know, when you speak with people, and when you deal with people that are in a state of utter despair and hopelessness, that have got nothing to look forward to, and that feel that the only prospect they have is the inevitability of death itself, that just that little glimmer of hope, that little glimmer of light, that little glimmer of life, it wakens them up. There is something else. There's someone else. And here's a man in that kind of a condition, and as the light shines in, verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he not only sees him, but he cries out to him. And he not only cries out to him, but he falls down before him. He saw him, he cried to him, and he fell before the Lord Jesus. What would you call that? No, I call that conversion. A man that gets a glimpse of the Lord Jesus and that glorious light of God penetrates into his soul, and then he cries out to the only one that can give him hope, and then he falls down before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's something that you would do in worship. He recognizes that the one that he has met is the Son of God, the only one that can help him. In fact, the demons would recognize that too there. In verse number 28, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. What a response to the person of the Lord Jesus. Just that little glimmer of light that penetrates that man's soul. And he responds with a cry. And he responds with falling down to the feet of the Lord Jesus. He's found the only one that can deliver him. The only one that can give him hope. The only one that can give him a prospect. It seemed that the only thing this man knew was the grave and the tombs, verse 27. And the perpetual presence of Satan himself over his life. And now he sees something gloriously different in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 29, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. It's interesting, isn't it, to see the kind of condition that Satan would put us into. There's a big deception out there in the world that we live in. A big deception that the world can set us free. There's this idea that out there is freedom. And this man, he kind of knew about that. That the devil was, in a sense, able to give him freedom. And no matter what constraint anybody put on him, he was able to break it. He was free. He was free from the chains. He was free from the cuffs, the fetters. He was free to do whatever he liked. But all he was free to do under the power of Satan was he was free to fear. And he was free to die. And he was free only for a future that looked forward to the grave and to be lost. He was free into his own fear. And that was no freedom at all. But when he met the Lord Jesus Christ, he got a completely different freedom. What can you do with such despair, and what can you do with such demons, and what can you do with such demonic possession? Well, the Saviour had a solution to that condition that he was in, verse 30, and Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep, and there was there a herd of swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. All of that despair and all of that bondage and all of that sin and all of that wickedness, all of that possession, abandoned it to its own despair. Abandoned the despair to its own despair. Leave it in the depths. And this man was free. He was free. He was free from the despair and the wickedness and the death that was there, trapped by Satan in a black hole of a life. It was only the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that was able to deliver him. Now, it's interesting, isn't it, that not only did the man get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus, but he did something about it. And right the way through Luke's gospel, we see this, that there are those that get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus, a glimpse of his greatness, of his glory, a glimpse of who he is as the eternal Son of God, a glimpse of the fact that he is the Saviour that died for us at the cross of Calvary, a glimpse of the one that is able to deliver us from sin, from Satan, from death, a glimpse of the one that's able to give us a new life, a glimpse of one that's able to set us free. In fact, the word of God tells us, doesn't it, that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. This isn't the freedom of Satan to self-destruct or to a life of misery or to the grave, but this is the freedom of a changed life, a freedom of a relationship with God, the freedom of sins forgiven, the freedom not to be trapped by death and the grave and the devil. And he not only sees the Lord Jesus, but he cries out to him, and he falls down before him, and he worships him. He sees in the Lord Jesus Christ his only hope of salvation. He sees one that is eternal, the only one that can give him eternal life. He sees one that, as we go through Luke's gospel, we'll see he's the one that died for sin and for sinners. And he's the one that defeated Satan and the one that defeated the grave. He's the one that's able to deliver. But you know, it's so important, isn't it? As you look at that little section here, it's so important that he not only saw the Lord Jesus, but he cried out to him. Just like the thief on the cross, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Just like Jairus later on in this section, that not only knew about the Lord Jesus, but he came and he pleaded with the Lord Jesus to come and heal his little daughter. It's not only just knowing about him. That wasn't enough for the man of the Gadarenes, but it was that cry, a cry for deliverance. And that step of faith in casting himself at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Well, what a difference the Saviour makes. Verse 34, it was a life transformed that was evident to everyone. Verse 34, and when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and the country. And they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. What a transformed life. A man that's been delivered from despair, a man that's been delivered from the demonic, a man that's been delivered from death, a life utterly different from anything that anyone has ever seen. What a transformation in the hand of the Lord Jesus. You know, it is wonderful, isn't it, as you trace through these three passages here in Luke chapter 8, but even through the whole of Luke's gospel, and you see the kind of things that are thrown at the Lord Jesus Christ. And oftentimes in Luke's gospel, it's the extreme of things. It's not just that the Lord Jesus Christ is able, for example, to deal with one demon, but he's able to deal with a legion. It's not just that he's able to deal with a child who's very sick at the point of death, but he's able to deal even with death itself. It's not just that he's able to deal with a woman who's been bleeding for a wee while, but she's been bleeding for years, 12 years. He's able to deal with the most extreme. There's nothing that seems to be too great for the Lord Jesus. In fact, if you were to go over into John's gospel, you would find that people at times just would almost write off their lives as being too far gone for him, you know. They wanted him to come and see Lazarus, but forget it. He's gone. They wanted him to come and see Jairus' daughter, but now she's gone. Forget it. Nothing is too great for the Saviour. It doesn't matter how deep or how dark. It doesn't matter how much despair and destruction there is. He's the Saviour that's able to deal with that despair and that death and that destruction. He's a Saviour that's able to deliver and he's able to free. And that man of the Gadarenes, with a simple step of faith in a great Saviour, not a great step of faith in a small Saviour, as sometimes we say, but just a tiny step of faith in a great Saviour. A man who saw that his only hope was in the Lord Jesus, he took that hope, a life utterly transformed by faith in a Saviour who loved him and who would die for him. Let's just bow our hearts. Our Father, we come into thy presence this afternoon. We thank thee, our Father, for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, our Father, for the power of a life transformed. And we do remember, our Father, there are many that have come like this man to the person of the Lord Jesus. We can see, our Father, the power that there is in lives that are wrecked and ruined, full of despair and hopelessness and emptiness. But how we thank thee, our Father, that the Saviour is able to deliver from fear, that he's able to deliver our Father from despair and disaster. And we remember our Father, a Saviour who defeated our greatest enemies. We thank thee, our Father, for a Saviour who has defeated death, and a Saviour who has defeated the devil, and a Saviour, our Father, who has dealt with and paid the price for our sin. And we thank thee, our Father, that in all of the brokenness of our life and in the judgment, our Father, that will be ours, and in the lostness that can be ours, we thank thee, our Father, that he is a Saviour who is utterly sufficient for every part and aspect of our life. And we thank thee, our Father, that we have a Saviour who loved us, who gave